welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley. Joining me today is Rebecca Hurst, or better known as Becca to those close to her. Becca has 20 plus years in the banking experience, with her current role as Chief Credit Officer, Community Reinvestment Act Officer, and Executive Vice President of Tennessee State Bank, a locally owned community bank located in East Tennessee. Her banking experience includes frontline experience as a teller, a credit specialist, a credit analyst, loan review specialist, credit administration, and loan operations manager. As part of her current role, she oversees the bank's loan operations, credit analysis, special assets, OREO, and appraisal departments, as well as the bank's loan customer service representatives and the bank's overall CRA program and its compliance. Becca has proven to be a leader within her organization and has been recognized by her peers on multiple occasions as being voted Staff Member of the Year. I have personally had the pleasure of being able to work with Becca and her team in a consulting capacity and witnessing her leadership skills and style firsthand. So welcome, Becca, and thank you for agreeing to be with me on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you, first of all, for just giving me this opportunity to kind of talk about something that I think is very important. And I am super excited for today's podcast.
Great. I am too. So we always like to start off our episodes asking our guests, how did you get into banking?
So I would say I'm actually an accidental banker. I was my freshman year in college and decided, hey, I wanted to make more money and still go to school at the same time. And I got in here first thing as a teller, and it just opened up a whole world to me that I was able to see there's a lot more to banking than what typically people see out there. So I'm that accidental banker that's turned it into a professional career.
Yes, that's exactly the same route I took was in college as well. And so let's go ahead and just dive into what does it take to build a really good internal culture at a bank, and what a good leader should have.
Sure. So I think a lot of times people have the presumption that, you know, teams are built overnight or leaders are built overnight. And first and foremost, they're not. It's something that you have to work at constantly. You have to have the people that are committed to it. And in banking, especially, in today's time, it is not easy. First of all, what employees have to deal with just from regulations, making sure, you know, safety is important nowadays and making sure you're doing everything right. It's a very difficult job. So I've always had a comment or saying that, you know, it's not rainbows and cupcakes and unicorns here. It's a lot of stress, but you can make it work in a high stress environment. So while, you know, if they do want their unicorns and cupcakes and rainbows, you might have to go to a bakery. But in the meantime, you know, we can make it work here. So one of the things I've learned, even as a teenager, I was in leadership programs. As a kid, I held a lot of like leadership roles in numerous clubs, et cetera. And I was always been in programs talking about leadership. So, you know, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People to Patrick Lencioni's 5 Dysfunctions of a Team and so forth. There's so many great people out there that we can listen to. And that's the one thing I will start with is listen. That was one of the biggest things I took away from my years of training and experience is a lot of time we're not listening. So we say communication is key. Communication is great from a written standpoint, from a speaking standpoint, but it doesn't matter if people are not listening. And that even includes listening to your employees. So for that to happen, it starts with just middle-level management all the way up to top. I know when I started my own practicing of listening, I wasn't in executive management. I was just in my mid-manager role. I only had a small group. And I knew that from my own past experiences, people were not being heard. So you come to me and you say something. If I'm not really listening to what you're saying, I'm not doing a justice to anybody. That right there, I think, can be some of the most crucial components to building that team and ultimate leadership is just listening. How many times have you listened to your friend or maybe your significant other and you're tuning them out, or you're thinking about what you want to say next, or you're not even giving them that opportunity? Because we want to get our story out. We want to get our interpretation out because we're just humans. And that's where it becomes critical. Just call time out and stop and say, okay, let me really listen to this person. It takes experience over years of listening and kind of develop, because then you can actually listen to personalities. You can see if someone's just wanting you to listen to them for a moment and then they're good, or if there's more to it that can, as a leader, you can determine if you need to put in several measures for an overall grander picture. So that would be number one. One of the biggest things I think taken away is we have to listen. And that even includes as peers. So, and I'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. The other thing is trust. So when we're in these environments, regardless of what field we're in, if you're within a team, including leaders and peers, and you don't have trust built up amongst one and self, you're not going to function together. Instead, you're going to have a negative environment. You're going to have negative results. And what you're going to see is an increase in turnover, and you're not going to get the work done. And it's just going to be a lot of bad stuff that comes this way. And we all know in banking, there can be a lot of bad things that happen. So trust is essential. How do you build trust? I don't have that perfect combination. I don't have the perfect answer. All I can tell you is it starts with you. And it's almost you put yourself out there as well, your trust out there. And that will show your peers, whether it's you're on the same executive team or middle management or just peers working along, that then they can start giving their trust. And when you do, that can then start building into the other components that you need to help with the culture. If you're in a culture where there is no trust, it's very sad and it's not successful, and you will ultimately fail. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. I've seen multiple organizations thrive for hundreds of years, but you know deep down, eventually it will catch up to them, and it does. So the next thing I can talk about is fear of conflict or fear of overall. I think COVID was an integral component sometimes to this, because I think that was something that instilled fear of the unknown in a lot of people. We had never seen this in our lifetime. Our children hadn't, et cetera. You know, we all were kind of banded together to figure out, what do we do? How do we move forward? What is this going to, you know, get us today? Or do we sanitize everything we touch? I mean, there was just a lot of unknown. Well, if you have that fear, we know from that, just imagine how that has resonated within individuals that we have surpassed that time frame. The fear is still there. Fear, though, in a workplace environment of not being able to basically come up with a credible challenge, or afraid of conflict, or not being able to express yourself, it can stifle you as a human being, but it also stifles people being able to progress. So, because we need that progression to be a better team. So as a leader, you have to create a safe environment. And that means you have to show them how to do credible challenges. And you have to show it in a respectful manner. But also, you have to be able to show it at other levels, even when you're not comfortable with it. So that takes a person that's willing to do it. It's not like just going up to the diving board and saying, okay, I'm just going to jump. You know, there's a couple steps that you have to build yourself up. Well, as that leader, if you want that bank culture, you're going to have to build yourself up so that you can also address any type of conflict. And conflict doesn't necessarily have to be we all disagree about something. Conflict can come with management not taking care of even what I call the bad apples in the group. because your bad apples will rot entire fruit of basket before you know it. And you've actually diminished your good producing fruit, you could say, and you've weakened your team. Fear of conflict could be simple as, even if as managers, we have to face conflict with ourselves. Okay. Maybe we found out that we were wrong about something. Guess what? We better admit that we were wrong, and we need to show that to them and how we can make it right and how we can learn from it. So talking about wrong, the next area to build in a good culture is, again, making it to where no one, first of all, is afraid. But if there is wrong, you don't just go bash somebody because they made a mistake. We're all human. I make mistakes daily, okay? It's crazy. I mean, I just won't even go there, okay? But everybody makes mistakes. How you address it, though, is what makes it, okay? If I came to all my employees every single time they made a mistake and wore them out, wrote them up, put them on probation, I wouldn't have the killer team that I have today. And that is important, because when we make mistakes, you're going to be the one that beats yourself up the worst. But we do have to talk about it. And we have to figure out, why did we make the mistake? Was it just a 2%er, or was it a reoccurring mistake? But where do we learn from it? And if you're in a leadership position, that's how you help to build your culture, is working with everybody on any level from top to bottom to demonstrate what you can contribute to learning from the mistakes that we make. And that kind of all plays into keeping people accountable too. If they are aware that they did make a mistake and you help them learn from it, it'll make you a stronger team versus letting someone carry on for years doing something wrong because you simply were afraid to confront it. And then that creates that negative environment because your team members are looking at you going, why doesn't she take care of this? This is wrong. Instead, we're always fixing it. It just can't happen. Okay.
And so you've been in a community bank, and a lot of our listeners are community banks. So I have personally seen that small community environment where you don't just work with these people, you're doing life with them. Could you add a little extra, go a little deeper as to that nuance of how that all works together as well?
Yeah. So, you know, even thinking about if I was in a corporate, if I work for someone that we're just a number, even if you're just a number, who you work with immediately becomes like your corporate family per se. Depending upon where you're at, you have to show your vulnerability as a leader. You have to show them you're human, but that you also mean what you mean, if that makes sense. So with that being said, I'm always upfront about not my personal life per se, but you know that I am human. And so these are some of the things that I like. These are some of the things I don't like. You know, I might share stories about some of the lessons I've taught with my kids. I've held bank-wide training for several years, and I would use my dogs and some training videos with my dogs because, you know, teamwork can happen anywhere. It's not just with humans. And you bring them back to your human, and you got to talk to people. So we all know we don't like everybody, okay? That's a given. But you need to know that person's name. I've been where there's people that don't even know people's names. And if you want that business and you want that culture to work, know their name. It can, even if you go up to them, just talk to them, say, hey, Sally, how you doing? How's life treating you? And you're listening, not just doing that general cameo, how's the weather talk. Give them 1 minute of your day and you'll see. You know, I go back to, I like a lot of history as well. And I go back to when generals talk about their leadership within war. You know, you have the main general that is bringing in all your troops together. You know, they have their other, you know, main commanders. But at the end of that battle, do you know what that general was doing? If he was a good general, he was going around to all of his troops that day that survived and going, good job. Thank you for your sacrifice. Hey, how's your mom doing? Hey, you know, hopefully we'll get through this and you can see your sister or something. I mean, it's just taking that human approach and giving them a few seconds of your time. And yeah, it's exhausting. It's a huge load on you. But if you're in leadership and you want to be able to have that successful culture, which in turn gives you a successful team, that's what you got to do. You don't sit back with your feet up on the desk and expect it to happen. It just doesn't work that way. So there's things that I do with all my different teams. It could be simple as if someone's having a new baby, just making sure I know that new baby's name. I send out birthday cards. You know, sometimes people don't get anything for their birthday. We don't know everybody's situation. So just sending them a simple birthday card can be like, wow, they actually care. Someone cared for me that day. Picking up conversations, telephone, sending a text. Hey, hope everything's going okay. Stopping from the daily grind to go sit with people and ask them just simple things. You know, you can pick up just on the environment that they may have around them, like pictures on their desk or something. And you can start a little 30-second conversation that will mean the world to that person that day. It's just really simple things like that. It's not throwing thousands and thousands of dollars at them and, you know, taking and spending all your time.
Yeah, and honestly, I just read an article last week that talked about one of the top signs of a really great work environment is constant thank you, good job, praise, thanks, all of that. And everything you said just illuminates all of that as well.
So you ever see those memes? I'm sure everybody's seen them. They go through Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and it's like, oh, we've worked so hard. You know, we've killed ourselves this quarter. Yes. Pizza party. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a good pizza party and I love food. But, you know, do the pizza party just because it's a Monday. Do the pizza party just because. It's not because they've done something great that they need to be acknowledged for. It's a thank you when you just do it just sporadically. Yeah. You know, it could be because it's a day that we all get paid. So buy everybody's lunch at the local Japanese restaurant or something. Or if it's, you know, I love holidays. So, of course, here comes Valentine's Day. I remember going to the Dollar Tree back long ago and getting little balloons and giving to all my employees at that time. Super silly stuff.
So thoughtful.
But it's a thought, and then we laugh about it, and you see all these grown adults walking out through the corporate parking lot with all these balloons with, like, monkeys and giraffes and stuff like that. This is Happy Valentine's Day. And it's just, you have to laugh. And that's what gets them moving. Did I spend millions of dollars? No, because I'm not a millionaire by no means. But it's just the thought that matters.
And so, Becca, we always like to end our episodes asking our guests, what is one piece of advice that you'd like to leave us with?
I would say this. You can't do it overnight. Just remember that. You got to keep plugging along. Rome wasn't built overnight. And so if that's anything that you can remember of anything that was said today, just remember it doesn't happen overnight. You just got to keep committed to it and just keep moving.
Awesome. Well, for the rest of our listeners, that spanking matters.